In Kananaskis, on June 26th and 27th, the G8 will be holding their annual summit in a posh resort area tucked away in the Rocky Mountains. The location was chosen by Prime Minister Chrétien in the wake of a massive outpouring of popular resistance at the previous G8 summits in Genoa, and likely in response to the massive mobilization we saw in Quebec City in April of 2001 against the Free Trade Area of the Americas discussions happening at the Summit of the Americas there. But all across Canada over these last few months, communities have been mobilizing, organizing teach-ins, protests, demonstrations, direct actions in their local communities, but also organizing caravans to Alberta, to the foothills of Kananaskis, but also to Calgary, and also to Ottawa, where an action has been called to take the capital. On the line with us today is Stuart with the Guelph Action Network, and Jagdeep is also on the line with us, who is a member of a new coalition. Jagdeep, since you're all the way there in Vancouver, I wonder if you can begin by telling us about the mobilization that's being planned there.
The mobilization here is planned for the morning of the 26th, Wednesday the 26th, coming up next week, and it's supposed to last all day. We're meeting down at the Art Gallery Lawn, which is kind of, I guess, the closest thing that we have to a public square here in Vancouver. And it's right smack in the middle of the Financial District, which is about 16 square blocks in downtown Vancouver. In that 16-block area there, we've got, the major financial institutions. You know, we've got the major banks. We've got, the Vancouver Stock Exchange. We've got many of the venture capital firms that are behind Gordon Campbell's neoliberal government here. Different consulates of the G8, federal, provincial, government institutions and whatnot. I mean, that is really, truly the center, and it's highly concentrated in that area. The action is basically meant to show that business cannot go on as usual, right? And this is a sign of, it's intended to be in one manner of speaking, it's meant to be a bit of muscle flexing, just to say, look, we're connecting the dots here between what's going on locally and internationally. And, we're saying no, we're not going to take it. And, this is what we can do. We can shut it down.
Well, Jagdeep, what's the response of the community been to this connection between Gordon Campbell and his campaign in BC and the larger issues of the G8? Are people on the streets of Vancouver pretty receptive to that kind of analysis?
The analysis is an analysis that's been missing in a lot of circles, I guess. Particularly, of course, in the mainstream media, there's no attempt to really make those type of connections. There's a lot of sentiment. The sentiment's fairly widespread amongst activists and, other people that have been involved in trying to resist, neoliberalism here locally, that, in fact, some of the traditionalized, larger sort of, organized labor, like the BC Federation of Labor, have, either accidentally or just ignored sort of making the connections that they, are intentionally doing so for, whatever reason there may be. In terms of outreach and education that we have been doing, it's been pretty receptive. It's been pretty good. A lot of people are surprised.
Well, Jagdeep, just for listeners who aren't familiar with what's been happening in British Columbia since Gordon Campbell has been elected, and some would even say prior to his election, it's been swinging in this direction. Can you just explain some of the policies that the Campbell regime has enacted in BC?
Essentially, the policies that are being enacted by the Campbell government here, the BC Liberal government here, are just a reflection of things that have been going on around the world for quite some time. It just is that, and even here in BC, in fact, that they were going on even before with the NDP government. It's just that the pace has picked up. That's the only thing. Nothing has really changed. It's just a matter of how fast those changes are going to be implemented. That's why we're saying, well, this isn't just a provincial issue. This is actually a global issue. So to that effect, what is it exactly? It's basically eliminating any remnants of the social sphere that are left. In terms of, our social rights that we have, such as, Medicare, public education and whatnot, and leaving those to, the market, the private sector, privatization, tuition fee increases, the same things that have been going on in Ontario for quite some time, the elimination of labor standards, environmental standards, all these supposedly artificial barriers to trade and investment.
Stuart, you're with the Guelph Action Network. Being in Ontario, Do you recognize some of the same policies that Jagdeep is describing in BC there as well?
Yeah, it's definitely something that, like, as we see it occurring in BC, as it's been developing with the Gordon Campbell government, it's something that we experienced in Ontario 6 years before with the Common Sense Revolution of Mike Harris. It's the same type of neoliberal agenda that's being perpetuated by the G8 on a larger scale here in Ontario by Mike Harris and now Ernie Eves of the Tory government. So we were seeing some of the same things. There's been extreme reductions in labor standards and the rights for workers to unionize. There's been increased privatization of certain services within Ontario. There's been reduction in healthcare spending and education spending. Particularly within Ontario with education, there's been several different things that have been implemented, such as private school tax credits, which make it easier to go to take away some of that funding away from public schools and put it into private schools. Reduction of a lot of different rights within labor circles as well. The environmental things that I was talking about earlier led to the deaths of several people within Walkerton, and a lot of that came from the general reduction by the Harris government of several different social spending programs here in Ontario. The reduction of the Tenant Protection Act being now an act that doesn't protect the rights of tenants within Ontario at all. Soon as Harris went into office, one of the first things that they instituted was a 21.6% cut in welfare. And similarly, throughout a lot of Ontario's social programs, we saw drastic cuts that put many communities in Ontario at risk, and we're seeing similar things throughout Canada and also throughout the rest of the world. This type of I guess, neoliberal model that is fueled by privatization and reduction in social services is something that we see throughout the world, not just here in Ontario.
Well, in the community of Guelph itself, what's the response of people on the street been to this mobilization of Take the Capital in Ontario?
There's been a wide amount of support. Like, it's difficult here in the community of Guelph. It's a very small community, and it's centered around a university town in this community, and a lot of its activism comes from that. But there has been large-scale support for within kind of, I guess, that typical activist circle for the campaign for Take the Capital against the G8. I think particularly here in our community, it's something that we wanted to focus upon because it's very difficult and very privileged for people within this community to travel all the way out to Alberta because of the prohibitive costs and all of the effort that would it take to send that amount of people. So here in Guelph, we've been focusing a lot of our efforts on supporting something a little bit closer to our own community, also trying to make links between something like the G8 and how something like the G8 or capitalism affects our own community as well. And a lot of that is making links, as was mentioned before, between the devastation of the Tory government and how it perpetuates the same agenda as the G8. So response has been strong, but I guess in comparing it to previous mobilizations against the free trade area of the Americas, there has been a little bit of it's the same type of separation that was talked about in BC. There's been less of a kind of mainstream progressive support for some of our more recent mobilizations against either things such as the Tory convention or the fall campaign of economic disruption in Ontario. There's been less of a kind of wider scale progressive movement support, like larger unions, compared to when we were mobilizing against the free trade area of the Americas and previous, I guess, neoliberal trade agreements.
Is that because this action surrounding the G8 summit in Alberta, out there in Kananaskis, is targeting the rest of the world's economies are on the table? It's not directly targeting, you know, say, Canada's economy.
Yeah, I think it's partially that. I think with the G8, it may be more of a difficult concept to people to grasp how it relates into the destructive programs within our own communities. It may be more abstract to look at, I guess, the destructive nature of capitalism, which the G8 represents throughout as being kind of the global elite of capitalism. I think in some ways it's more difficult for people within progressive movements to grasp some of the concepts of that than perhaps something such as NAFTA or the free trade area of the Americas, which have been in place within, at the very least, North America for the last several years, and it's clear, you can see the clear examples of what has happened in Mexico, or clear examples of what is happening in Canada and the United States as well. I think at the same time, it's part of a more kind of a separation between those progressive movements where there's kind of a more militant form of grassroots organizing occurring on one side, and that's part of what we see through Take the Capital, and part of what we see through organizations like the Ontario Common Front or the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. You have that somewhat militant grassroots organizing on one side, and you have more liberal-minded progressive movements on the other side. And I think that paradigm has kind of opened up a little bit more in recent times, particularly, I guess, since September 11th, but also before as well. I think after Quebec City, there, especially within North America, there's been more of a kind of a shift away from those two types of movements, and I think that's partially why there's been a little bit less support among mainstream progressive movements as well.
Jagdeep, do you find that lack of support among mainstream progressive movements out there in BC, and what do you attribute it to?
I do find that lack of support, and I think it's fairly common. I mean, I think, you know, I definitely, you know, I agree with Stuart, you know, that, you know, sometimes, you know, that some of these issues, you know, are fairly complex and, you know, somewhat abstract. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, I also think that, you know, the amount of effort that is put into, you know, certain campaigns here in British Columbia by, you know, some of the mainstream, I guess, more progressive movements, such as the BC Federation of Labor, which is, you know, the real big one. The amount of effort that's put into certain campaigns, and when you're able to look at, you know, that the type of effort that they put into these campaigns, and these campaigns are aimed only at one thing: Gordon Campbell is bad. That's it. It's an amazing amount of resources, an amazing amount of repeating the same message. It's almost like an indoctrination. Gordon Campbell's bad. These resources could be put into other things, like an educational campaign with regards to basically giving people the basic outlines of, you know, what is going on. I mean, really, it would take 3-4 hours out of a person's life. They've got the money, they've got the resources, they've got the ability to start, educating people. And so, I mean, I just look at some of the deeper motives sometimes, and I kind of think, well, geez, you know, is there something else here? Is it possible that there's some type of a fear of awakening, a general type of will on the part of the population whereby people are empowered to start making decisions on their own?
I think, like, particularly here in Ontario, here in our own community, while we've seen a little bit less support from mainstream kind of labor-ish organizations, I think we've also seen an increase in kind of more grassroots support as well. And I think
that's
something that we can see from, like, the Take the Capital campaign and other previous campaigns as well. There's a growing network of organizations that come from a kind of clearly militant, in some cases, anti-capitalist perspective, and that's growing within communities as well. And I think, to me, that's a positive step towards, like, real lasting social change. Well, I think there is major power in labor movements. I think the support of the labor movements lies within grassroots rank-and-file workers, and I think the same can be said within communities as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're seeing support within the work that we do, increasing communities at risk here in Ontario, particularly as the destructive agenda of the Tory government has continued. Communities at risk, and which is those communities are getting larger and larger, have been increasingly supporting the kind of work of the non-mainstream, like militant progressive activist movements, and that's something that I think we can take at heart when we organize for things like the Take the Capital campaign, or what is going on in BC or throughout the world in opposing the G8.
I want to take the opportunity, thank you both for joining us in this series. Again, this is just one of three segments that we've produced looking at community organizing across Canada. And Jagdeep and Stuart, I want you to take this opportunity to describe the kind of action that's being planned and plug the contact information for where people can get a hold of you, phone numbers, websites, emails, and so on. And Jagdeep, if you want to go first with the Anti-Gordo 8 Coalition.
The action in Vancouver for the 26th of June, starting at 7 a.m. on June 26, 2002, is at the Vancouver Art Gallery, downtown Vancouver. We're reclaiming the streets for the day. The event is called Connecting the Dots, Reclaim the Streets, Street Party Against Global Capital and for a Just World. And our contact information, 604-822-9612 or 604-268-6564. Or you can email us at thegordo, G-O-R-D-O, 8@resist.ca. And thanks. I'm exceptionally tired from 16 hours a day of organizing for the last 2 weeks. So,
okay. Sure. So the Guelph Action Network is a Guelph-based anti-capitalist organization organizing from a perspective of an anti-racist, anti-oppressive analysis, with the respecting the diversity of protesting tactics as well. Right now, our focus upon opposing the G8 is organizing on going to the Take the Capitol campaign in Ottawa, which is 2 days of action, which will be occurring on June 26th and 27th in Ottawa. In addition to that, the Guelph Action Network is actively organizing to oppose all forms of neoliberal economic model that are devastating to our own community. So a lot of that has focused upon doing work opposing the destructive agenda of the Tory government as well. If people want more information on the Guelph Action Network, they can check out our website at www.tao.ca/GAN, or they can give us a call at area code 519-763-7138, or they can email us at GAN@dojo.tao.ca. So I guess that's about it then.